Hi, I'm Emma Dawson. Ladies on the sofa, everybody's looking at your chat. Okay. Let me introduce these wonderful ladies. We have Alexis Foreman over here. Alexis is married to Jim, the very bearded fellow. He walks around with a big beard. They got three very fun, lovely boys. She is a full-time graphic designer and writes a blog on all things like fashion-y and styly. Yeah, I read it. I pick up stuff. And you might recognise Alexis from your local bus stop. Not because she's homeless, but because she is the face of Dove. Woo! So probably worth getting to know her just in case you can get a few little freebies. That's why we're friends. My proudest moment of Alexis is when she just had her twin boys and she was breastfeeding, tandem breastfeeding, and she said, "You can come round, but this is the view you're going to get." And I was just like, yes, that's just womanhood right there. So this is Alexis. This is the lovely Serena Crisp. She is not married to a bearded fellow. She is a single lady. She's run two marathons. I admire her for that alone. She used to work for Virgin Atlantic. Very nice. And once camped out in Richard Branson's back garden, which is probably why she doesn't work for Virgin Atlantic anymore. She is now the communications and marketing manager for Friends First, which is the work we do with the homeless and vulnerable here. So this is Serena. Yeah. And this is the lovely Jo Simmons. She's married to a kind of bearded guy. So I don't know why I went with the beard theme at a ladies' day, but I'm in there now and I'm carrying on. I'm just going to wing it. Jo, up until recently, had the opposite of my life. I have four boys, she has four girls. So we parent, but just so differently. She's recently been told by God to move to Amsterdam with her family, so I'm sure we'll hear about that. And if anyone's doing a dissertation on does training for a marathon alter your menstrual cycle enough to have another pregnancy, she's willing to take questions on that. Yay! Cool. So the first question is for Alexis, which we need to know.
Do I do this?
Oh. Yes, well done. We need to know, which lipstick should we all be wearing?
Okay, I would say, of all of the red lipsticks I own, because red is the best shade, that MAC Ruby Woo is a winner. Although I'd say that's more of a wintry, autumnal shade. Right. That as we move into the summer, possibly Lady Danger.
Brilliant.
Lovely. Always matte, never shiny.
Okay. And we're done. Okay. So, Alexis, you like things to look good. You are a graphic designer. You write a blog on things that look good. How does that relate with, Dove asking you to be the ambassador for body image and body confidence and self-esteem? How do those two go together?
I grew up feeling confident. I think my parents did a really good job of making me feel good about myself. But then when Dove asked me to be, having done some shoots, when they asked me to be the face of Dove and the Dove ambassador, I had to do like interviews on the radio and for press and stuff. And they were asking questions about self-esteem and body confidence. And I really had to actually look at myself and think, am I happy with myself? And that was a real challenge because obviously there are parts of my body that I'm not happy with, but God made me to be exactly as I am. And doing that with God, that little journey, was a really good thing to do. It was a good thing to go through. And as I didn't want to be fraudulent. I didn't want to go on the radio and answer all these questions about self-esteem and, you know, influencing young girls when actually I wasn't believing what I was saying. So, important, I think, for anybody, regardless of whether you're the ambassador for a brand, that you should really go through that journey and know that God has made you unique and beautiful in all your lumps and bumps.
And it part of your wanting things to look good, is there a God gifting in that? Is there a God journey in that? Or are you just like pretty things?
Yeah, it's really interesting. Actually, I just had prayer for that very thing. That I think I went through a stage a couple of years ago where I think I felt bad that I wanted things to look nice. And I kind of kept feeling a bit like, oh no, you know, I shouldn't be so aware of, you know, looking nice and wanting other people to look nice and talking about clothes and makeup all the time. But God really spoke to me quite seriously and said, I have made you to love those things, and I love that you like things to look nice, and I want you to inspire other people to look nice and be happy with themselves. So, yeah.
Great, thanks. Moving on to Serena.
Hello.
How did you make the change from Virgin Atlantic and all its Richard Branson glory to working for Friends First and serving the disadvantaged and the poor and the needy? Tell us a bit about God bringing you on that journey.
Yeah, so for me, I really felt quite early on in life, had a real call for people that were less fortunate than ourselves. And that goes back to when I was a child, and I used to read a prayer every night before I went to sleep. And I would pray for those people who were disadvantaged. And at that age, I didn't really know what that meant. In the area where I lived, I didn't see that much disadvantage. And I used to think it was like way off in Africa or in another country. And as I grew older, I could kind of see actually there is people that are less fortunate than ourselves, and just really had a heart for people that were isolated or alone or just, just weren't in that kind of place really, where I was very privileged to be. And as I grew, I tried to get involved in lots of different activities, you know, that were related to serve in the local community voluntarily for like homeless charity back where I used to live, and also just helping coordinate a group for disadvantaged families as well as flying for Virgin. So, which was great. So, it was a great privilege to be able to do both. But I really felt a call in my life probably about 10 years ago now when I was at a conference. And I was praising God, and I was just so thankful to God for all the wonderful things in my life. And I just really felt clearly just God say to me, yes, Serena, freely you have received, and freely you need to give. And that kind of took me on that journey of just sort of doing the voluntary work and getting involved in that kind of area. But it was just wanting to do more, but kind of feeling frustrated that I wasn't really sure what that was. And it's just amazing, really, like how it's kind of come to now, and actually working for Friends First and giving up all the glitz and the glamour of working for Virgin, which was amazing. And I've still got the opportunity to go back. But actually working for a charity that is so close to God's heart and so involved in the church here, and serving people that are, you know, so close by, like just down the street, you know, people that are homeless, people that are isolated, long-term unemployed, and trying to help them gain skills to get back in employment is such a privilege to me. And to do that with God's blessing, like it's not just a secular kind of charity doing its own thing, but just having God right at the heart and the centre of what we do is just such a privilege.
That's great. So. Do you still get free flights?
I do, through my friends. I've still got a lot of friends at Virgin, so okay. It's great. It's
quite a few of us
away.
Just got your Dove, got your flights.
I know, got your great skin.
And do you, is it because it's working with Jesus's heart, he loves to serve the poor, does that make it ever so wonderfully easy and you don't carry any of the financial burden that, you know, you're called to come and fundraise for, so you just trust him every daily freely with that, don't you?
Of course I do. No, yeah, like my initial role at Friends First was as a fundraiser, and it has progressed over the last couple of years. for me, yeah, that financial burden, I guess, I did carry, even though I know, you know, it is part of the bigger picture and it is part of God's plan. But when you're in a role like that, you do become quite, just that sense of, you so want to generate enough income to do all that you want to do for God's glory. And I felt, and I have felt over the years, and I still do, you know, I still do have that responsibility financially for what we do in my role. However, I have to look to God and just sort of say, actually, ultimately, this is God's work and not mine. And Joel preached like a couple of Sundays ago just on about striving without ceasing and that kind of sense that I know that I do that at times and I do try and push myself to the limit. And I am sort of thinking, actually, this isn't about me. This is about God and this is about God's kingdom and building God's kingdom in his glory. And if we did do that in our own strength, like we're kind of like missing out on what God wants to do. And it's actually God, you know, so desire for God to get the glory in all we do. And, you know, particularly, you know, for helping people that are disadvantaged in our city. And yeah, it's just kind of like just laying that burden, just letting go and letting God. And for me, that can be hard at times. I think it's hard to sort of like know how to do it as well. You know, you kind of hear, oh, you know, just let go of it all. But then you have got that sort of responsibility in your job. But it's almost like God's with us, God's for us. And just keep trusting in him, really, and leaning not on our own understanding, which is so limited.
Great. Thank you. Moving on to the wonderful Joe. Before we move on to Joe, does anyone like cheese? There's a point. Does anyone like Van Gogh? Does anyone like hash browns? Great. So there are still places to join Joe and Matt on the Amsterdam church plant if you're one of those people. Joe, why on earth would you take your four beautiful girls from your large two-bedroom house with your husband to Amsterdam?
The long or the short?
Short.
Because God said so.
Has Amsterdam been on your heart? Is it like, oh, I always knew?
No, we didn't always know at all. I think we always knew that there was a call for us to church plant. We always knew that at some point God would send us somewhere to build a big church for him, just an expression of who he is in an influential place. But yeah, we didn't know where that was. We kind of moved to Brighton just over 7 years ago, thinking we'd be here for like a couple of years and then that God would move us on. And it just took a little bit longer than that. But just waiting for God to speak, really, and then Amsterdam.
How are you involving your girls in this massive life change?
So we are teaching them some Dutch that they learn as quickly as we do, because
they got clogs.
We know very little. They do not have clogs. Maybe we'll get some on their next visit to Amsterdam. So we're praying with them. We're just sharing kind of our story, just what God's doing, just the adventure that he's got on. And just so we just talk lots about it, and we just say why we're going, and we pray regularly. And Ellie regularly prays for her own bedroom with her own special bed with a desk. And it's
the, amen.
Yeah.
So, give her the bed.
Give her the bed. Give her her own room. That would be great. So, yeah.
Are you nervous?
Yeah, definitely. Kind of nervous and excited. I think reality still hasn't really hit that we're going. I obviously know that we're definitely moving. But there's just so many practical to get through that neither Matt or I particularly love. So it feels a bit of a grind at the minute of like, the bit that we get to go and do is exciting and brilliant and amazing and scary. But at the same time, there's all this gubbins that you have to do beforehand.
Gubbins?
Like, gubbins. Does anyone know that word?
Gubbins? Gubbins?
Yeah, okay, there you go. Shh.
We'll go back to Alexis. Now she has mics. Alexis.
Gubbins and doings.
Stop. Your husband gave up quite a successful career in London to work for the church, which isn't quite as much money. And I've heard. He also went through quite a chronic illness while you had three boys under two. Not three kids under two, it's very different. Three boys under two. It's just a different thing. And can you just briefly tell us how your relationship with God in the midst of, you know, losing that kind of financial security, a chronic illness, three under two, how you're still here and praising Jesus. What did you learn about God, or what did he teach you? How did you grow your relationship with him in that time?
Yes, all those things happened, but what's wonderful is that God didn't sort of like do it all at one point, otherwise I wouldn't be here. So he's great, because even in the challenges, he sort of paces it out quite nicely. So it went in the order of James having the three boys under two was a challenge, and at that point me and James became a team, parenting team, and he was like a second mum, and he still is. So that's one thing that's great for our marriage. But then he got Emmy, and that was quite full on, and where James had always been this very capable, very fit person, he just became like a shell of himself and couldn't sort of make it to the end of the street without getting out of breath, and it literally came overnight. And to see someone you love and rely on go like that is difficult, but at the same time did push me straight to God to just trust him and seek him. For where James wasn't able to fill those needs, I had to go to God. So I am really grateful for the experience, and I know that James is as well. And our marriage, I mean, we would have said that it was strong before, but post ME and during it, definitely strengthened our marriage, because literally it wasn't even day to day. Sometimes it was hour to hour that we would have to pray and just to get through the day. And I would have to listen to James a lot. Anyone who knows James knows he can talk a lot. And he's the opposite to me. He's a real thinker, so he processes every single thing. So just for me to have the grace to listen to him, and it was a lot of repetitive stuff, I had to personally ask for grace from God just to be a good wife in that sense and listen a lot. And the aftermath of it, because he is, praise God, so much better. He's even riding a bike around town, and it's really amazing. Going to cry, but he's so much more capable again. But what we're left with is that through the ME and the sickness, we had to get together to pray as a couple every single morning. So we'd set our alarm to sort of like half an hour before we knew the kids were going to wake up, and we'd just read one chapter of the Bible together. We do 10 verses each, and then we pray together, just commit the day. And, you know, years on, we're still doing that. I'm so grateful for all the challenges because of that. Yep.
Great. Well done. Thank you. Okay. Serena, I've been told, word on the street is, that you are exemplary in giving the gospel to anyone and everyone who barely says anything to you. You just seem to have a passion for it, a confidence in it. Well, just very briefly, what enables you to just be able to not just work on that one person, but that one and that one and that one and that one? And
again, I just think it was a call as well, just to sow seeds, and just with my job with Virgin as well, previous to what I'm doing now, just going out there and just chatting to passengers on the flight, you know, around the bar, in the upper class bar, and just talking about...
Hang on a minute, upper quite class naturally. Bar? Yeah, you need to go back to Virgin, stop working for friends first. I don't mean that.
It was definitely a call in my life, obviously. No, but it was good just to sort of like, yeah, any situation, I just sort of think, you know, God's called us just to be ourselves, I mean, natural, and just to rely on him, you know, his strength, and that he gives you the words to say. And I think the more that you're open and the more that you just trust in him, really, and ultimately, for me, it's all about just seed sowing. It's not really about... obviously, I would love to sort of see people, you know, see them through the whole process. But when I was working for Virgin, you know, I'd often be doing on flights to Hong Kong and I'm not going to see them again. So it's just trusting in God that they are in his hands and not ours. And just, you know, just again, it's just letting go and letting God Great. Sort of take control.
So. Fantastic. Jo Simmons, you have the last word. Jo Simmons
Amsterdam
has...
with us. Thanks.
you will. I will promise to give you the last word. God has given you quite a prophetic gifting. Jo texted me this week saying, you were made to be an eagle, not a hippo. Great. I like it. I like that kind of straight talking, prophetic. I haven't quite found a verse. But, so how do you grow in that? Gifting, you've got about 30 seconds, and how do you deal with, so for example, today loads of people came forward with words and were talking to you and talking to Anna, and then the wonderful Joel said no. How do you do what's known as the walk of shame?
No, I hate it's that not phrase. it's got a new name.
Great.
I'll give you the new name.
Joe, okay. Grow us in our prophetic gifting.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
In 32 seconds.
Wow. Okay, so I think just spending time with Jesus, just learning to hear what his voice is like is how you grow in the prophetic. It is, and just practicing and not making the walk of shame. It's called the walk of obedience.
Well
you all
done.
Need to know that because you're obeying just the prompting of God. So no matter what is said, when you get to this point, you've obeyed what you feel like God has said. So just keep being obedient in the little stuff and just practice with your kids, practice with your people at work. Just say, God, what do you want to say today? What do you want to say to me? What do you want to say to those that I'm just hanging out with? Because it's not just for this context, it's for school gate, it's for your workplace, it's for in your home. So, yeah.
Great.
And come and learn to grow and be in the prophetic and move to Amsterdam with us.
Yes. Well done. The panel.